Well, welcome to church on Sunday morning. Wow. That's all I got to say about that. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. How many are glad for God's moving this morning? Amen. Come on. Come on. We're going to dive into the Word of God. And we've been in 2 Peter for the last couple of weeks. And we've been talking about, we'll just read it. Let's read these verses. 2 Peter, we've got two slides of these verses, verses 1 and 2 first. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as what? Precious. A faith as precious as ours. We'll just read the rest of this. Grace and peace to be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. We spent the last two weeks talking about the idea that Peter is in the second letter that he wrote, wants to see believers standing strong and grown up and filled with the life and power of God. And I said for the last 2 weeks that this precious, it kind of just, they gave the illustration of being walking by a barbed wire fence and you get snagged. That precious just kind of snagged me. And I'm like, what is he talking about here? So we looked at a bunch of different verses where Peter thinks that our faith is precious, promises are precious, and all of these things are precious. And the problem often in our hearts is that our hearts consider things. And Jesus said it like this. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so if we're trying to live for the Lord and we're trying to go after God, what our heart considers most valuable, that we can say all we want. I can tell Jerry all I want. Jerry, I'm going to go after the Lord. I'm just going to live for God today. But if the most precious thing to me is being right or being greedy or fill in the blank, being prestigious or whatever it is, whatever's the most important thing to me, that's what I'm going to end up going after. And Jerry would just smile at me. He'd say, no, you're not, son. Not until you get that treasure changed. And so for 2 weeks, we talk about changing the affections of our heart. And a lot of times as Christ followers, we're just like, well, I just got to go to church and try to be kind of good, right? No, God wants to replace the affections of our heart with new affections. And Peter is saying, man, if you're going to grow, you need to know that this faith is precious. This gift that we've been given is so precious. And so we'll go on to the next verses. He says in the next couple verses, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So, where are we going with this today? Well, the next thing that kind of stood out for me before we kind of go on to the next thing is that God has got a calling on our life. And here, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of where we're at. We're three verses in to this whole letter on living this victorious, mature life, right? How many want to live a victorious and mature Christian life? All right. Whoa, lots of you guys. You're with me this morning. Very good. I don't even have to pull you in. You're here. We want to live a godly life. So that's, he's three verses in, and he just makes this statement that you got everything that you need to live a godly life. Say a godly life. A godly life. And I think a lot of times, and we're just making generalizations here. We're not talking about you, but I think a lot of times people, you get saved or whatever, you come to Christ, and we just kind of think, well, I'm just kind of doing the best I can. You know, I go to church every once in a while, and I read my Bible last year sometime a little bit. You know, you kind of just, God knows he loves me, and that's true. He does. But I want to say this. Peter sets this out in verse 3. He doesn't even get past verse 3. God's vision for you is a godly life. Period. I didn't get my graphic in there, but I was going to put that up there, and then my next slide was going to be with a period about that big. God's vision for your life is a godly life. That's the only vision that God has for you. God doesn't have a bunch of different visions for you. Well, he knows that I'm... No. His vision for you is a godly life. Anything less than that and you're living below the vision that God has for you.
That's right.
Anything less than a godly life, and some of you are squirming, oh man, just hold on, just relax. We're talking about it this morning. It's good. This is going to be good. God's vision, his declaration over you is you are meant to live a godly life. And he said that we've got everything that we need for that. Well, you just don't, I don't have the, and I didn't, and my family, and what? No. He only has one vision. It's a one-size-fit-all. When you come to Christ, you're baptized into that vision for your life, and it is of a godly life. Godly life. Dave, his vision for you is a godly life. Brian? Yep. Kay? Jim? Curtis? Debbie? Of course, Debbie. Yeah, absolutely. She starts the day being an angel, right? But God's vision, his heart for it, and he doesn't just kind of leave you on your own. He's like, well, I hope that turd doesn't mess up again today. And you know what? But no, that also doesn't change his vision for you. It's a godly life. And I grew up with the 1984 version of the NIV Bible, and in that version, it says this, life and godliness. Some of the other versions still say that. His vision for us is life and godliness. If you are not walking out and experiencing life and godliness in your life as a Christ follower right now, then we're living below the vision that God has for you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? That Peter is making that statement at the very beginning of his letter, that I've got, hey, there's not a bunch of different ways we can do this. There is one picture that I'm painting for you and for you and for you and you and you and you and you and to all who will come to call upon Christ as Lord of their lives. It's life and godliness. And we love that word life. Probably was a couple years now. Everything seems like the other day to me. And my kids grew up just being so annoyed with me. They're like, Dad, you say the other day. And then we find out it was like 9 years ago. Like, well, when you get to my age, the other day was 9 years ago, right? You get old like my mom and dad, and it's just, wow, there's a lot of other days in there. You guys are spry yet, young. Yep, easy peasy. But we love the word life, and it's the Greek word is zoe. It's this animating, energizing aliveness. Some of you are alive, but you don't have a lot of aliveness in you. I've been sick since, I'm feeling great today, but praise God. Hallelujah. But a week ago, Thursday, so, you know, 10 days ago or whatever, I got sick. And so yesterday I was sitting in the chair feeling better, but still kind of feeling pretty punk. And Marnie looked over across the room, and I was kind of like, She looks over, she said, what are you doing looking so alive over there? So maybe that was the prophetic word that she called it what wasn't as it is or whatever. Exactly. So God doesn't have a ho-hum life for you. He has Zoe life for you. Thriving, vibrant aliveness. His vision for you is to be bursting with life. Come on, church. God's picture. Life and godliness, a godly life, whichever version you want to use. But his Zoe life for you, his one picture. Well, maybe I'm going to be one of those Christians that's not that vibrantly alive. You got the wrong picture. There's only one. God's bookstore, where you can get the picture of what your life is to look like, there's only one picture of your life. It's the same as Jim's. Now, you have different giftings, different paths, absolutely. But the picture of your life in Christ, it's life. Say life. Life. Now say it like you're alive. Life. Life. Yeah. Zoe life. God has life for you. Well, let's prove it. Some word of God for you. John 10:10 says, I came that they might have life and have it what? Abundantly, more than enough, to the full. Woo! 1 Timothy 6:19 says, so that they may take a hold of the life that is truly life. Wow. Romans 5:17 says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man Jesus God? How many want to reign in life? Oh, that sounds like a good vision. In the 2 Timothy 1:1 says, the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Life and godliness. Life and godliness. And the godliness there we'll actually talk about in a future sermon, but God has a set of morals and ethics and purity that he wants you to live in. And so often we buy the lie because our heart is still longing after some other false thing that we think is going to give us what it's promising. And Jesus said, the picture that I have for you is to shed that stuff, repent of that stuff, and embrace life that's truly life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's go back to 2 Peter and see what the end of this. And it says that, so we read all through that already, and it said, this caught my attention, that you've escaped the corruption in the world caused by, wait a minute, what is the evil in the world caused by? It says it right here. We said, we gave that verse out of James. It says, hey, when you guys are sinning, don't say God's tempting me, because he's not tempted, nor can he tempt anyone. But you sin when you're dragged away by your own evil desires. We read that verse last week. This time we find out in 2 Peter, it says, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Whose evil desires? Theirs. No, yours. Everybody, put your head slightly down and say, mine. But the upside of this story is, hold on, more graphics for you. Whoosh. You have escaped. You have escaped. And this was just rumbling in my spirit as I was just meditating on this and kind of prepping this sermon this week, that we treat what Christ has done for us a little nonchalantly sometimes. And Peter uses words like, you have escaped. What do you escape from? Now, I'm not talking about this verse, but just clear out your minds for a second. What do you normally escape from? Evil desires. Evil desires. What else can we escape from? Disasters. Yep, absolutely. You escaped a tornado. You can escape from prison. You can escape from a POW camp, right? You can escape from terrorists, right? Those are the kind of situation that Peter has in mind, and he says, you've escaped. Wait a minute, who has? You have. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've now been given the power to escape. Escape. You've escaped. And so we treat it kind of nonchalantly sometimes. We kind of just tack on Jesus, right? Instead of going through this process of, and it is a process, but of repenting and walking away from that life that is promising these false things, and we're stuck in that, and we're captive to that. And Peter's like, you guys escaped that. And I feel like to Peter, it was kind of like if you escaped a POW camp, or if you escaped a prison where you were wrongfully imprisoned, you know, or whatever, escaped the terrorists, right? And all of a sudden you're like, they're like, hey, where's George? I don't know, where is George? And they finally find George. And he's set up his little camp on the edge of the jail or the POW camp or the terrorist camp. And they're like, George, what are you doing over there? He's like, well, I kind of liked some of their songs. And, you know, I met a buddy there. And he's like, but you've escaped. Like, once you've escaped, don't go back to where you have escaped from. Amen? That's what Peter is trying to get across. He uses this language. You've escaped. Don't treat it nonchalantly. And sometimes we get in trouble because we're like, where'd you escape from? Over there. Right? And we get a little too nonchalant. And Peter said, treat it like what it is. You've escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We got to get our desires reoriented, rewired to love the things that God loves. Hey, there's going to be a battle with your flesh. You're going to want to love other things. well, I'm trying to love Jesus, but I love these other things. Be honest with it. Jesus already knows. I love getting wasted. I love being greedy. I love being jealous. Like, I don't really like it, but I keep going back to it. I must love it. And talk to God about that. Say, I don't want to do that. I want to love the opposite. I want to love, and God will help develop a new desire for godly things in your heart. Amen? He'll give you a new love, and he'll pull you out of that what wants to keep you captive because you've escaped. Look at your neighbor. Say, you've escaped. Yeah, it's the great escape. It's the great escape. Let's look at a couple more verses. 2 Peter in the second chapter, which we won't read the whole thing, but just some verses, two verses in 2 Peter 2. We've been in 2 Peter 1, but later on he says, he's talking about false teachers and stuff. He says, these people are as useless as dried up springs, I'm talking about false teachers, or as a mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed to black darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting. With an appeal to twisted sexual desires, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. And gosh, 2025 and the year 5, right? It's the same twisted desires. It's the same evil that's in all of our hearts. And Peter's saying, man, people that have just barely escaped out of that, they're getting lured back into a prison with twisted sexual desires and boasting and luring back into sin, and lifestyle of deception. And he goes on in a couple more verses. He said, look at this. He says, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. You're either a slave to Christ or you're a slave to something else. And when this is still in 2 Peter chapter 2, and when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they're worse off than before. You see the vivid language that Peter's trying to... Peter's not just going, oh, don't... Just be pretty good. Don't be really bad. Peter's not using that kind of language. He's saying everything on this side of the line is good and holy and righteous, and that's the call for you. That's the vision for your life, a godly life, life and godliness. And you were enslaved in that, but you escaped. Now don't be like, see how close we can get to the line, because we're prisoners. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves. And I've talked over the last 30 years of being at the church here and being a pastor and just being a friend to people, I've talked with enough people that look like they're living in freedom and would give anything to not be enslaved. Mm-hmm. Looks like they've got the life of Riley, man. Oh, they are just living it up. And they're empty, dead, and deceived, and they know it. They know it. They know they've been tricked. They know that this isn't bringing what it's a false promise. And Peter's like, get away from the enemy camp. Don't set up there. Don't hang out there. You were enslaved, but you've escaped. You've escaped. So this morning, you've escaped. Great job. Good job escaping. Very proud of you guys. Another verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and what? Escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Wow. That's Paul writing that. These guys are like, hold on, don't mess around with the stuff that's not, if it's not in the vision of a godly life, don't mess around with it because gets you all trapped up. It imprisons you. It promises you something that you think is good, but it's not. It's dust and bones. Come on. Another verse, Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14 says this. This is a prayer of Paul's here. I love this prayer. He says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience that you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in his inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Hallelujah. You've been rescued. You've escaped. That's the vivid language that Jesus and his writers are laying out in the scriptures. And we're like, oh, I could just do a little bit of this. And they're like, no, come on, dude. You got out of the enemy's camp. Don't go even close to that place. Like, stay far away. Don't do it. It's death. It's false promises. It's not going to bring what you think it's going to bring. Because you've been rescued. Praise God for being rescued. Say, I'm rescued.
I'm rescued.
Hallelujah. Jesus rescues us. Set free and empowered. So here's the verse we were just reading. He's rescued us. He purchased our freedom. But there's more than that. Look back up here up top. Paul's praying that you would be strengthened with how much?
All.
How much? All of his, not Paul's, but his glorious what? What a cool prayer. God doesn't rescue us, plop us down in the middle of life and be like, how are you going to get out of this one? All right, there's some freedom. All right, what are you going to do now? Ooh, there's a big temptation come up. What are you going to do there now, huh? He doesn't just leave us alone. God's vision for you includes power. God's vision for you includes him in, upon, among, and with you in power. Say power.
Power.
He wants to endue you with power. Paul's prayer is that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power. I kind of faded out the words, but so that you'll have all the endurance and patience. So that you have everything that you need. So that you have all that you need. All the endurance and patience that you need. Back in 2 Peter, well, let's go there. His divine, what?
Power
has given us everything we need. Well, how about that? Peter and Paul are saying the exact same things. That the power of God is available, present, and accessible for you guys to live out the Christ life. He didn't leave you on your own and say, boy, you better step up. No, he rescued you. You've escaped. He planted you. Now his vision for you is power. Praise God. He wants to equip you. He wants to infuse you. This vibrant, I just have this picture, just this. You ever... We just had Valentine's Day. And what do kids get on Valentine's Day?
Candy.
You ever been around one of those buggers at about 7 at night after they've just read all their Valentines from all their friends? And you can feel it. Maybe they're as quiet as could be, but you can feel it. They're doing this. You just, it's ready to blow, man. There it is. They are sugared up, and it's just, you know that thing's going to pop.
You send them home with their parents.
You send them home with the parents, and yeah, absolutely.
But on the school bus first.
Oh, yes. The bus drivers can handle that. They don't even mind. Yep, just more sugared up they are, the better. They don't even care. Doesn't even bother them. I drove bus for 13 years, so they make fun of me, and Joe drives bus all the time. So does Steven. Steven, you're a bus driver now, too. Wow. So, yeah, so I just see this Zoe life as the Christ followers. You're just bursting with Jesus sugar energy. Right? So get that picture. That's the kind of life he has for you, but it's also godliness. And we're not talking, come on. No, talking about a passionate heart engaging with what God loves. I want to love what God loves. Not, well, don't want to do it. Shut up, man. We don't do that. It's like, if it's going to bring me death, I don't want any part of it. I want to put my heart in capture because it's all false and fake. It all promises something that it doesn't really deliver. And now we find out that he wants to give me power. What kind of power? Divine power. His divine power. This is talking about Jesus. So his divine power, Jesus' divine power, Jesus is God. Jesus equals God. He's God. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Huh. He wants to give us the power to live out this godly life. So we cultivate our hearts to love the things that God loves, and then God fills us with his power and his strength. Well, what, Pastor, what if I don't feel like it? Get in the Word of God. Get the truth of God's Word in your soul and know that it's God's design. Well, that's just one verse. I'm glad you said that. I'll show you more verses. Thanks for asking. Like how I did that? Ephesians, I gave you another graphic here so that you can know where to look. Just for any slow ones in the crowd, in case we didn't get it on the last slide, Paul makes another prayer here, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he's called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great, what? Power. It's right by the red arrow there, in case you didn't. What, his what? His power. For us who believe. Oh, you mean for like the holy people. What? No. For the people of God that have surrendered their life to Jesus. That's all who believe. All who call upon the name of the Lord to save them. You guys have power in your future. You guys have power in your present. Right now, today, this day, very day, right now, here. This is the day. This is the, right? This day. Today. Jesus made this day, and this is true. It was true 2,000 years ago. It was true 1,000 years ago. It's true today. That Jesus has power for you to do what? Power to be the biggest, best. No, power to live out a godly life. That's what the power is for. It's power to live out a godly life. Power to do what God's called you to do. Power to influence others for Jesus. Power to live victoriously. Power to be shining stars. You can shine. Be the glory of God in this fallen world. This commentator says, Paul does not pray, Lord, give them power. He prays, Lord, help their spiritual eyes see and appropriate the power that they already have residing or resident within. The incomprehensible, dynamic power of the resurrected Christ is already in us. Power of God is in you. Well, I don't feel powerful. The Bible didn't say that you have great feelings. The Bible says truth. You've got power. You've got the power of God in you. The power of God's in you. The power of God's in you. The power of God is in you. The power of God is in you. Yeah, amen, amen. I'll keep saying it till all of you wake up. The power of God. If you're visiting with us, I like to have fun. So just don't take the word of God very seriously. And just know I joke a lot. Ephesians 1, 19 through 21 says, what kind of power? That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. That's the kind of power that's in you. That's the kind of power that's in you. Power to walk this world in white. Power to live, to have life and godliness. To live a godly life. That's the kind of power. And you see that? This is kind of the demonic hierarchy. He set Christ at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. Other versions use different kind of words in that, but it's talking about demonic powers. That's why when we get a call to go to a haunted house or where there's demons or ghosts, I don't get scared. And I'm not saying that area. On my own, I'd be very scared. But I have Christ in me. The hope of glory. And we walk in and they're like, just be careful when you go in that basement. And we're like, pfft. And we do. And they're like, wow, it's so peaceful after you leave. Right, because we invite the peace of Jesus into the house. It's not me. I don't have enough strength on my best squat and deadlift day to defeat any kind of devil. Right, it's all Jesus. And when we're in him, we have that kind of power. To just stir your heart this morning. That's for you. I feel like there's 30% of you that still aren't on board. And you're like, well, that's for them. Like, you agree with it, but you're like, that's for them, not for me. No, it's for you. Look at your other neighbor. Say, it's for you. For you. Charles Spurgeon says this: the holiest of Christians and those who understand best the gospel of Christ still find it in themselves a constant inclination to look to the power of the creature instead of looking to the power of God and to the power of God alone. We want to think that Jim can save me, right? Because he's a man of God. It's the power of God. It's God alone that gives us his power. It's God alone. And people help. Don't get me wrong. We need each other, right? We just got done saying how we need each other. We do. But it's God's power. It's God's power in you that's going to cause you to walk victoriously. Walk in victory. God's power. His power. Well, that's just for the pastor, right? Ring of baloney. It's for all of you. It's for all who believe. It's for all who believe. How many who believe? All who believe is God's power. Well, not for like teenagers, though. Especially for teenagers. But it's for all of us. You don't mean like little kids. No, I mean little kids too. I mean little kids that surrender their heart to Jesus and walk with the Lord and pray for other people and see them get healed. Yes. Yes. And they say their prayers before bed, not just, and I'm not picking on anything, but not just now I lay me down to sleep, but they pray prayers from their heart and God answers prayers because they have power inside of them and the Lord hears. The Lord is near to those who call on him. Well, who? Anyone who calls on him. Amen. These promises are for us. I got another verse, just in case you're not convinced yet. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think. Wait, hold on. I can ask and think a lot. I don't know about you, but I can think a lot. And God's able to do above and beyond all that we ask and think. According to the power that's just for a select few, maybe. That's not what it says, Pastor. According to the power that is at work in us. That's how God's going to, that same power, God can do above what you can ask or think. Yeah. But it's centered, remember, it's centered on his vision for you, though, to be full of Zoe life and to be godly. But he's got all the power that you need, and it's already working in you. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Just a little bit before that, there's these verses. It's a prayer, a Paul's. I think we got two more screens of verses. He said, this is a power-packed section of Scripture. Paul says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray, so this is, he's praying, he's saying, out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with what? Power. Through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all, how many? All the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. Stephen said it this morning. He said that final nugget is it's the love of God that's drawing you into that, drawing you out of fakeness. And he says right here, Paul prays that you would have the power to know that love. Sometimes the enemy wants to blind our minds so that we think God loves everyone but me. Anyone ever resembled that remark before? I just don't know how God could let, oh, you don't know my week. Hey, God's got a higher calling for you, but he loves you right now, right where you're at. And sometimes we need the power of God. It says it right here. That's Paul's prayer. I pray that you'd have the power to know how much God loves you. That, because knowing that resolves that in your heart, and then you can walk out that life in gloriness. Hallelujah. Godliness. Hope and joy. Pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power with all the Lord's people to grasp this width and depth and high and deep of the love of Christ. And then a couple more verses. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled, say filled, with the measure of all the fullness of God. God wants to live in you, reside in you, dwell in you, empower you, let your life walk in victory, not lower than, not less than, but above and not beneath, the head and not the tail, blessed going in and blessed coming out. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, we already read this one, but according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory. Amen. Are you convinced that the power of God resides in you and that he wants you to walk out this God life, life and godliness, godly life? So, just to recap, we're done. You are called to an abundant, a Zoe-filled, godly life. You're an escapee. You've been rescued. You've been rescued. You've been redeemed and rescued. You've escaped corruption, and you have the power of God in you. Amen?
Amen?
You've got the power of God in you today. So walk out of here today going, all right, if I'm living anything less than a godly life that's filled with liveness, life, Jesus sugar energy, right? Anything less than that is not the highest calling God has for you. You've already escaped the corruption of the world by putting your trust in Jesus. Get out of jail free card. And the third thing is you've got power to live that out. There's power in you right now in Jesus Christ. He's going to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He's going to put his word in you, and you're going to have power to live that out. Amen? Let's pray. God, I pray that we would live out this power-filled life, this God life that Christ modeled for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit inside each and every one of us right now. Give us a fresh baptism, a fresh wind of heaven blow through our spirit today. And we pray that we would walk this out in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Hey.